choosing, written 10/15/1995. Quantity or quality? The form seemed to mumble. Quantity or quality? It asked again. I shook myself and tried to clear my head as my vision sharpened and the blurriness faded. The strange form asked once more, quantity or quality? What are you asking me? I don't understand. And I tried to stand up. Give it time. You'll be okay. But I've got to know. Was your life quantity or quality? And the robed figure with steel gray eyes questioned again. My life? Why was he asking? As I looked around, the cool fog nearly enveloped me. What is this place? I asked. Another time, given the circumstances, he answered quietly. Another time. What other time? Where am I? I persisted. You didn't answer my question. The steel, gray-eyed stranger suddenly snapped. All right, I shouted. I can't answer because I don't understand the question. Very well, perhaps you deserve that much. It's against the rules, but okay. Fine, I mumbled under my breath finally. In between, you're in between. Not supposed to wake up like that, but well, if you do, I have to get you to decide. And his voice trailed off nervously. Decide what? As my patience thinned, he looked away, turned and glanced at me, and then looked away again. I don't agree with the procedures, but well, they never ask me what I think, but well, you get to decide if you want to continue to live your life with quantity or quality. If you decide, well, it's over. Might be over anyway, but, well, at least they ask you. He slumped to the ground in a fatigued heap, the energy completely drained from him. I looked down at the rumpled figure. Was it true? Was I dead? Or was I just dying? The thought left me cold to the core. I was standing now. Run, run, ordered my mind, but where? There was nothing in all directions, just the thick, cold fog. Was that it? If I ran? Could I step off a cliff or run into a brick wall? Or what would I do? The panic welled up in my throat, just as suddenly as it vanished again. I looked down, the figure was gone. I knew what to do. I had to answer the question for myself. I can't remember when it all began. The race, always faster, always more, but it had paid off. I was the first vice president and set to advance to presidency of the company in just 2 weeks. I was sure there'd always been sacrifices, and you know, the marriage and the kids only every other summer and that sort of thing, but there had been Bev there. She was for me at the office late weekends, always there to keep me on track, and she'd been there to share my promotion too. And suddenly, a few feet away, a phone rang. A phone in the fog. I walked over toward the sound. There, on a Roman pedestal, sat a dark 1950-ish dial phone ringing harshly. Picked it up in time to hear my daughter say, "That's okay, Daddy, next summer." Then just a dial tone. "That's not fair," I screamed. Grabbed the receiver. "Now, darling, don't let your wife talk to you that way." More dial tone. "Bev? What's happening?" My voice dampened in the fog and silence. "Quality or quantity?" said the steel-gray-eyed form behind me. "Quantity seems you had about all your heart could take." I felt a slight tingle in my left arm. I stared at him a moment. "Well, I need to know now." "Now!" The tap on my shoulder startled me. "Now," said Bev, "what's the matter with you? You look like you've seen a ghost." I looked around. The office looked back. My arm tingled again. "The board wants to see you now. Since Jenkins died yesterday, you're in," she beamed. "We're in. I mean, we're in, darling." A photo of my daughter caught my eyes. 11. No, 13. Was it this summer? I couldn't shake loose from the surge of emotion. Slowly I turned to Bev, dear, sweet Bev, who wanted the presidency. Slip of the metal tongue, wanted me to have the presidency for so long. I looked again. I knew those strange steel gray eyes. A short time later. "I don't know what came over him," said Bev to her new boss. "He never really was up to being president, but I know I it won't take you long, John, darling." Quantity in her voice. Undeniable.